Most of you know that I've been bringing a series of messages on rapture words and phrases having to do with the rapture of the church to be with Christ. That is, the true church, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've not quite finished this series, for I'd like to add a very brief appendix to what I said about that word together in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So I want to just speak very briefly on that, and then I want to go into the subject, when dying is gain. That ought to be a great blessing to every single listener. Now, you remember in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 we read that the dead in Christ will rise first at the rapture, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, that is the Shekinah cloud, the cloud of his attending angels, to meet the Lord in the air. Has it ever occurred to you, my Christian friend, that this is the first time in all 1900 years of the church's history that all the members of the body of Christ, the true church, will finally be together? We have been divided in by so many factors, divided by time, for example. That's why I never had the pleasure of meeting Martin Luther and others, great men of God of times past, centuries past. We're divided by distance. There are many precious saints all over the world that I've never seen or heard of. We're divided by schisms. How often schisms have rent the church asunder and caused splits and divisions, and many other factors have divided us. But then, for the first time, together, all of us together. But now an objection is raised. It says sometime that being together at that time won't mean very much, since that multitude will be so enormous. Just think, all the believers all over the world for the last 1900 years, the multitude will be so enormous that it will be virtually impossible for friends to find each other or to have fellowship with any but those who are closest to them. Well, remember, the immediate fellowship that we will one day have with each other will not be the primary purpose of the rapture. Rather, it says, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord. Now, this objection about the huge crowd and so what good will it be to be together, it stems from a lack of attention to that other rapture phrase. We shall all be changed, for before we are raptured to be with Christ, we read, we will all be, that is, all of us believers in Christ, will be transformed into his likeness. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Philippians 3:20 and 21, and I gave you other passages along that line. At present, in our poor, limited state, we can stand on a hillside and see only one very limited view at a time. We can discern only two or three sounds, and then we become confused. We can smell the fragrance of only a few flowers and touch only what is near to us. But then, in a new and fuller sense, the Bible says we'll be like him, and we'll be partakers, I say, in a new and fuller sense, of the divine nature. And he's not bound by human limitations. He is infinite. Did you ever think that he can give his personal, individual attention to millions of people at the same time? When I was a lad and the pastor would ask us to go home and pray, perhaps for some particular project, and I'd think, oh, but there must be millions of people praying now in the evening time. How can God hear us all? Oh, I didn't know the great doctrine of the omniscience of God at that time. And when our bodies are fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body with its vastly extended powers of comprehension, limiting factors such as distance and time will no longer prevail. Now, we can't take this all in as yet, but these facts do afford us ample assurance that in the ages to come, the redeemed will indeed know each other and enjoy the most precious fellowship together. Now then, when dying is gain, I want to speak especially on Paul's words in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In our last messages, we discussed at some length the rapture of the church to be with Christ. From the Pauline epistles, we learned that at that time the dead in Christ will rise, and those remaining will be changed, and together will be caught up to be with Christ. Now, we Christians would sometimes like to move the rapture back to our lifetime so that we won't need to die. That's where the cliche comes from. I'm looking for the uppertaker so that I won't need an undertaker. Ah, but when the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ will rise first, says 1 Thessalonians 4:16, so that they will in no wise miss the rapture. Indeed, a glance at 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 reveals that Paul wrote these lines to give the Thessalonians and us this very assurance. They were worried about those who had died among them, and they said, will they miss the rapture now? Well, thus believers who are taken by death before the rapture may depart this life rejoicing in that blessed hope, for they will not miss it. Now, some sincere believers wonder and worry about the time between death and resurrection while the rapture awaits. They fear entering into the unknown. But, beloved, the basic facts about this subject are not unknown to the careful student of the Word. While the rapture awaits, those believers who die go immediately to be with Christ in conscious enjoyment. Oh, not the whole man, of course, for the soul and spirit leave the body at that time. Ah, but surely the real man, the inner man, of which the body is but the earthly tabernacle, as Paul says. Now, this is made abundantly clear by several passages of Scripture, evidently referring to the time when he was stoned at Lystra and left for dead, Acts 14:19. The Apostle Paul testifies that he was caught up to the third heaven. But, he says, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. That's 2 Corinthians 12:2. Now, this clearly indicates then not only can the whole man go to be with Christ, as at the rapture, but the inner man alone may also go to be with Christ, as at death. Now, let me give you two clear scriptures along this line. Philippians 1:23, where Paul says, to depart and be with Christ is far better. Obviously, the apostle is not speaking here of the rapture, but of departing from the physical body and the earthly scene. For he goes on to say, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Verse 24. The other one is in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8. Here the apostle distinctly declares that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And conversely, to be absent from the body, he says, is to be present with the Lord. And as in Philippians 1:23, Paul expresses his desire to depart and to be with Christ, so here in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he states, I am willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. How could the scriptures have stated more clearly the conscious enjoyment of the believer in the presence of Christ between death and resurrection. How could the scriptures more fully have devastated the fallacy of the soul sleep theory? The fact is, the Bible never once talks about soul sleep, but always about body sleep. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, the theme in these latter passages that I've quoted to you is that of being with Christ. That's what he clearly says. And before the rapture even takes place, at death, going to be with Christ at death. Thus, believers, especially faithful believers, may rejoice in the fact that at death, when the inner man departs this body, even though the departure itself may have been a struggle, and death often is, he departs to be with Christ, which is far better. As I said last week, far better not only than her sorrows and troubles, but far better even than his dearest treasures and joys. Just think of it. To be with Christ, the creator of all this great universe, the head of the body, the one exalted far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and best of all, the one who died in agony and disgrace for our sins because he loved us. And now faithfully intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. Think of it. We'll be with him, my fellow believer. Many a man, many a woman has been willing to suffer great loss to be with a loved one, but much greater and deeper should be our longing to be with the one who so loved us. Now, all this unfolds a glorious prospect for the poor sinner saved by grace, but an even more blessed one for the believer who has faithfully toiled and sacrificed for him. Now, let's return now to the Apostle's declaration in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's important to take note of those words, To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Death is most certainly not gain for the unbeliever. It ought to frighten him, and justly so. But Paul had come to know Christ personally. His sins had been forgiven, and he had been justified and been saved by God's grace. Thus, to leave his ravaged body and a sin-sick world and go to be with Christ was to him infinite gain. But the words "to me" imply more than this. Unfaithful believers will go to be with Christ at death just as Paul did, by grace, because Christ died for them and they trusted his death for their salvation. And this will, of course, be far better than going on forever enduring the struggles and sorrows of life on earth. Yet for the unfaithful Christian, the joy of going to be with Christ must be limited in some degree by thoughts of remorse and self-reproach. Such an one might well say to himself, "He suffered so much for me. How little I've done for him. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, giving up his all for me. How little I have sacrificed for him. He's been ever faithful to me. How unfaithful I have been to him." Even a casual reading of the words of Paul in this chapter indicates that they are written by a faithful and valiant soldier of Jesus Christ, whose earnest prayer it was that Christ might be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. Verse 20. He could truthfully say, "For to me to live is Christ." Those who came into contact with him came into contact with Christ. And we may be assured that when, To live is Christ. To die is superlatively gain. How important, then, to take to heart the words of our beloved Apostle Paul. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Well, the time is going. We've shown that at the rapture, all of the members of Christ's body, all who have trusted him as Savior, will be caught up to be with him, caught up before he returns to judge this wicked, Christ-rejecting world, caught up before God pours out the bowls of his wrath and takes vengeance in flaming fire on those who receive not the love of the truth. It doesn't take much insight, does it, to see that the world is headed straight toward that dreadful time. It's becoming increasingly godless and even more increasingly Christless. But what about you, my friend? Are you going to go on in this world just taking your chances? That's an awful chance to take, for that great book that has stood the onslaughts of his enemies for centuries of time says again and again and again that Christ will return and judge this world for their rejection of him, and will put down their rebellion and will reign in Jerusalem. Do you want to be in this world at that time? I don't. I'm so glad that, as Paul says, we're looking for that blessed hope in the appearing in glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ to take us to be with him. Paul, don't miss that blessed event, my friend, and there's only one way to take part in it. There's only one way to escape what both Daniel and Christ called the great tribulation, a time of tribulation and trouble such as this world has never known, nor yet ever will know. Don't be caught in that, and then finally, to be the victim of God's final and eternal wrath. Wrath again, that's what we deserve, every one of us. We may not think it, but it's true, and when we once see ourselves as God sees us, we acknowledge it to be most certainly true. So flee from the wrath to come. Accept the wonderful grace proffered to us because Christ died for all our sins at Calvary. Believe him, you poor soul caught in sex perversion so prevalent today, caught perhaps in dope or liquor, intoxicating liquors, or caught in any kind of sin. Maybe you're the self-righteous kind. You're just as bad and worse in God's sight. Flee from the wrath to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe that in love God gave him and he gave himself to pay the full penalty for your sins, and watch that burden roll away as it did for me almost 60 years ago, so that I can now rejoice that the work is finished, the transaction is done, and I have been saved and am eternally safe in Christ. I want you to have that too.